Let's go back to that scripture that he read to us from Exodus chapter 17. The scripture says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That statement made in Romans chapter 10 is actually taken from Joel 2:32. What's in a name? Well, in the name of the Lord, there's a lot. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Our Lord Jesus is Jehovah who saves. No other name is sufficient to save us but the name of the Lord Jesus. When the angel of God told Joseph what to name the baby who would be born to Mary, said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In the Old Testament, there are lots of different names for our God that are given, and all of them revealed different things about our Savior and his work of redemption or his work of reconciliation. And every one is very significant. In the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, we read one of the names of the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. That is, the Lord will provide. He provided a substitute for Isaac. A ram was caught in the thicket. Isaac was taken off the altar, and that ram, it was killed in his stead. Our Lord Jesus was the one who was given as a gift of God. The Lord provided the Savior for us, and we were, as it were, we were taken off the altar. Our Lord Jesus suffered, bled, and he died in our stead. We read another name of the Lord is Jehovah Rapha. That's in Exodus chapter 15, the Lord who heals. Israel came to bitter waters. They were very thirsty. There was nothing for them to drink. And, of course, they came to this body of water, and they were very excited, and they thought, this is going to be wonderful. And then they began to endeavor to drink the water, but it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And then, of course, they provoked the Lord again, and God told Moses, you see that tree over there? Cast that tree in the water. And it sweetened the waters. And Moses therefore called the name of that place Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And it is the Lord who heals us of our spiritual diseases. The scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. That's the Lord who takes us to the cross of Calvary in the midst of our sufferings, in the midst of our disappointments of life, in the midst of all of our bitter troubles and trials. And it's the remembrance of our Lord's death upon the cross of Calvary, of his redemptive work, that indeed sweetens every trial. And we understand then that all of our troubles and trials are working together for our good with everything else because of Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord who heals. And then another name in the Old Testament for our God is Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah who is our peace. It's in the book of Judges. Gideon, he was very upset by the attack of the Midianites, and they were greatly outnumbered. And he sat down so depressed The angel of the Lord came to Gideon, and he said, you'll have victory, and then you'll have peace. And Gideon built an altar because the angel of the Lord said, you'll have peace, and you're not going to die. He built an altar, and he named it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. And then, fourthly, another name of Jehovah, Jehovah Ra, R-A-A-H. Jehovah Ra, the Lord, our shepherd, Psalm 23. David begins that song by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep who redeemed us by his blood. The blood of the covenant is called in the scriptures. He's the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He's the seeking shepherd who came after us when we were lost. He's the nourishing shepherd who feeds us. He caresses us. He nourishes us. He's the preserving shepherd, for he watches over us lest we perish. And he is himself the chief shepherd who will receive us unto himself. And then another name for Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jehovah Tsidkenu, that is the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23 and verse 6. Our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we know that's not going to do. We can't stand before God and be accepted in our own righteousness. We've got to have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. He is the Lord our righteousness. In fact, that righteousness is imputed to us, and so his name is our name. The Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And then another name for our Lord is Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is with us. He's present with us. And that's Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. And then this one tonight that we want to focus upon here in Exodus chapter 17, if you'll look at verse 15. And Moses built an altar. He called the name of Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord, our banner. He is our banner. The Amalekites were attacking Israel, and they had a real working strategy. They went after the weak ones at the back end of the camp of Israel. As Israel made their way through the wilderness, there were those who were at the rear, the older ones, the weaker ones. They couldn't move as fast, and of course, Moses, according to God's command, we would stop the progression of Israel's journey and wait for these folks to catch up, and then they would encamp always around the tabernacle, of course. But the Amalekites, they went after these weak ones. And Moses, he held up the rod of God. And as long as he was holding up the rod of God, which indicated the authority of God, the power of God, the omnipotence of God, as long as he held his arms up, as Bill read to us a little bit ago, Israel was victorious. But the arms of Moses became weary, and so the banner came down, the rod came down, the ensign, it was lowered because Moses, his arms got tired. And so, when that happened, Israel began to lose the battle. And so Aaron and Hur, they put Moses on a rock, then one on one side, one on the other, they both held up his arms so that the banner was once again lifted up. Now, there are many people who believe that Moses is interceding for the people, and that's the reason the banner was lifted up. But I really, I'm certainly all for interceding for the people. I'm in all for us praying and seeking God's face, but I really don't see that here. That's what most commentators, that's what they say, that Moses' arms, he was interceding for the people, he was praying for the people. When his arms came down, he was just weary and he became faint. And he didn't no longer interceded for the people. But I really don't see that here. You see, this rod is called the rod of God. Look back in verse 9. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek, and tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the rod of God. Now this rod of God, what is that? Well, this is the rod that Moses has had throughout his ministry as God raised him up and he's the leader of Israel. This is the rod that God said, what's that in your hand, right to begin with, back in the early chapters of Exodus, and Moses said, it's a rod, it's a staff, it's a banner, it's an ensign. He said, throw it on the ground, it turned into a serpent. Pick it up by the tail, he picked it up by the tail, and it became a rod again. And of course, when Moses went before Pharaoh, he still had this rod, and he threw that rod down, it became a serpent, and the magicians of Egypt, they threw their rods down, and they all became serpents. But the rod of Moses, that is the rod of God, it ate up all the serpents of Egypt. Because you see, that rod of God, in the hands of Moses, it represented the authority and the omnipotence of God. Here's the power of God. And as he lifted that rod up, Israel, the soldiers of Israel beheld that, and they knew the power of God is behind us. Listen, our Lord Jesus is himself Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord, our banner. He's not a weak banner. He's a mighty banner. He's mighty to save, the Scripture says. He said himself, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the Lord, our banner. Now, the banner back in those days, and we might say it was similar to our flag, in that it had a designation of representing a certain people. Like we have a flag that stands for one nation. Then every state has a different flag. Well, Moses, he had a rod, but it wasn't the kind of flag, though it's kind of typical of the flags that we have, but it wasn't made out of any kind of material. It was a rod. It was rigid. And at the end of it, at the end of every banner, didn't matter who the banner belonged to, what family they belonged to, what tribe they belonged to, they had a distinguishing, very lovely, ornamental, something or other, real shiny, that would catch the light. And so they'd hold up that banner, they'd hold up that rod, they'd hold up that ensign, and the people of that family or that particular tribe would see it, and they'd rally around that. Well, Moses, he has this rod. And this rod indicated his position of authority. And this rod, the banner that he used so often in Egypt, you remember, this is the banner that he used. He struck the rivers with it, and they turned to blood. This is the rod that when he got to the Red Sea, God said, stretch out the rod. Because that rod represented the authority of God, the dominion of God, the power of God. It wasn't that the rod itself had any kind of authority in and of itself, but it's what it represented. It represented our Lord Jesus, who is Jehovah Nissi. He is the Lord, our banner, who has all power. And that's the reason we lift Him up. We don't lift up a man. We don't lift up a church. We don't lift up a denomination. We lift up the person, Christ Jesus. Because He's the one that has all power. And when we cease to lift Him up, then all is vain. It's just like with Israel. When Moses, as long as he had that rod up, every day he held it, maybe one hand, or seems like two hands, because both Aaron and Hur were on one side or the other, holding his arms up, and he had that up, and the militia of Israel, they saw the rod, and they were greatly encouraged. The power of God is with us. But when the rod came down, they were discouraged. Rods up. Let's go to war. And they fought. They won. They won. As Joshua led Israel into the battle. Joshua's name means Jehovah who saves. His is the Old Testament name for the New Testament name of Jesus. And Israel was victorious through the bravery of Joshua. And it says in verse 13, and Joshua discomfited, or he weakened Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. As a result of that which happened here, Moses built an altar. And you find in the Old Testament, up until the time of the giving of the tabernacle and the instructions of the tabernacle and the brazen altar, up until that time, men were always building an altar. And they understood this, the only way God could be worshipped was by a sacrifice at the altar. And here is Moses in verse 15. He's building an altar to worship God, to thank God for the victory. And he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. You see, Moses understood and Joshua understood that which all of us ought to understand. There is no worship of God without a sacrifice. There must be the shedding of blood. The Scripture says, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And so Moses builds this altar. And undoubtedly he offered sacrifices upon this altar. And he said, here's the name of this, Jehovah Nissi. And if you go in the margin, it says, that is the Lord my banner. Of course, this reminds us as we get, look at verse 16, for he said, because of the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. This reminds us we're always in a warfare as the people of God. You're in a warfare with your flesh. You're in a warfare with the world. You're in a warfare with Satan. As we go through our wilderness journey, make sure you understand this. There's always an Amalek out there. And he's always ready to to get you when you're weak. That is, when you seem to be vulnerable. You know, I'll tell you when this great trial of Amalek happened. It was right after, really, a spiritual victory. Because Moses had smitten the rock and the water came out. There's a gospel blessing. And it speaks of the substitutionary death of our Lord Jesus. He was smitten with the rod of God's justice. God told Moses to take the rod. That indicates the power of God. And you hit the rock. And he did, and water came out, and all of Israel drank. And that water followed them. The rock followed them, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians, throughout their wilderness journey. And then as they're rejoicing over the gift of water, and the water provided for them so abundantly, and they're all caught up in how wonderful it is to have this water, then the enemy attacked. When you least expect it, that's when the enemy comes. And so, Amalek, they saw an opportunity to go after Israel. But the one that Moses appointed to direct the fight was Joshua. And he's the one who weakened Amalek. That's our Lord Jesus. Joshua, Jehovah who saves. Jesus who saves. He's the one who went after our great enemy when he died upon the cross of Calvary. And there he crushed his head in fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Our Savior said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And before that, he said, now is the prince of this world cast out. What do you mean by now? Now in my death. Now in my sufferings. Now in my offering of myself to God. Now this is the ultimate defeat of Satan. And he was mortally wounded, but he hasn't been fully put out of existence, and that won't happen until the final judgment. He has, however, become discomfited. He's become weakened. And the one who weakened him, the one who bludgeoned him, the one who crushed his head, was our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jehovah Nissi, our banner. So our Lord Jesus, He is the one who, by His authority and by His power, He's the one who won the victory. Go back to Isaiah 11. You know, this past Sunday night, I spoke to you from Isaiah chapters 10 and 11. Excuse me. And we got into this just a little bit in verse 10. Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign, for a banner. The word ensign is identical to banner. Rod. By the way, before I go any further on this, it's also identical to another word that we've studied before, and that's found in the book of Numbers, when Moses was told by God, after fiery serpents had bitten the Israelites, that the Lord said, put a brazen serpent up on a pole. It's the same word. Put it up on a banner. Put it up on a rod. And that was lifted up. And once again, you see the power of God. Because Moses was specifically instructed by God concerning that rod, concerning that brazen serpent attached to that rod, lift it up so that those who are bitten may see it and may in looking, they may be healed of their diseases. And we know that's a picture of our Lord Jesus, because in John chapter 3 and verse 14, our Savior likened that. He was speaking to Nicodemus, and he likened his own death to what happened back then. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Our Lord Jesus was lifted up. Lifted up. Well, what's the significance of him being lifted up? Well, he's the power of God and the wisdom of God. When he talked about, when the scripture speaks about him being lifted up to die, he's the power of God. That one who died at Calvary's cross, lifted up upon a tree, he wasn't dying in weakness. There isn't a picture of weakness there. There's a picture of power there. There's a picture of authority there. Because all the while our Lord Jesus is nailed to that cross, he is battling the Amaleks of all of his people, and he's defeating all of our enemies. He's busy putting sin away. He's busy dealing with our transgressions and on our behalf dealing with the justice of God on account of those transgressions. Who is he? Who is he that he could deal with God on our behalf concerning the sin problem? Well, he's the power of God. That's who he is. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's the banner of God. He is the ensign of the people. Continue reading here in Isaiah 11, verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Look at verse number 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Our Lord Jesus, he is the banner to whom we gather. You know, when in battles, as you've read, battles in history and so forth, there's always a flag bearer. There's an ensign carrier, and he's the one who goes out in front. He's the one who's got the flag or the rod or the banner hoisted up. He's the one leading the way. That's our Lord Jesus. That's our Savior. And being out there in the lead, he's the one who's the object of attack. And the strategy, I don't know a lot about wars, read about wars just like you have, but as I read about the strategies of other opposing armies, they're going after the standard bearer. If they can get him out of the picture, then the standard comes down, the rod comes down, the banner comes down, the flag comes down, and people lose heart. And of course, if it's a good army, you got a good leader, you got somebody there who'll say, you pick up the banner and then you start carrying it. But the object is to go after the standard bearer. And the object of Satan was to go after our Savior. If he could defeat him, there would be no hope for any of us. But our Lord could not be defeated because he's the power of God. And when he was lifted up upon the cross of Calvary, as Moses lifted up the rod of God, when our Lord Jesus was lifted up, he died not in weakness but in power. Well, how powerful was he? Powerful enough to save a thief. Moreover, powerful enough to save all of the elect of God of all of the ages. That's how much power he had. Our Lord Jesus is he's the banner. It's like Moses. As long as he held the banner up, Israel was victorious. Our Lord Jesus, he's victorious. The scripture says, thanks be unto God which always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Was the cross of Calvary the defeat of our Savior? Well, of course not. It was his victory. It was his victory. And in his victory, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Lord Jesus is our banner. He's our ensign. He's the one who leads. Moses going through the wilderness, he's out there in the front. He's leading the way. Our Lord Jesus, he leads us. He leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads us into the tomb and out of the tomb. And he leads us into heaven. He's always leading the way. He's always out front, as well he should be. And he's our banner who must be lifted up. He had to be lifted up to die. He had to be lifted up as our sacrifice. And you know what our job is? Our job is to lift him up as well. Because nothing of any value will ever be accomplished if we don't lift him up. Moses, your arms are getting heavy. Yes, I'm getting tired. And Aaron Hur said, let's lift up your arms. Lift up that banner. And as they lifted up the banner, victory was there for the claiming. We've got to lift him up. If we don't lift him up, I promise you this. Might be a lot of things accomplished by the flesh, but they won't be worth anything. And this is religion today. They're holding up entertainment. They're lifting up excitement. They're lifting up speaking in tongues. They're lifting up healing services. They're lifting up anything and everything except the one who needs to be lifted up. And he's plumb out of sight. Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our banner must be lifted up. And he's the banner to which his people gather. There's a verse in Genesis chapter 49. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. He gathers us. And you know when sinners will be gathered to Jesus Christ? Christ, when he's lifted up. He's got to be lifted up. If he's not lifted up, there will be no drawing to him. He gathers us by his effectual, irresistible grace. And I'll tell you, when he calls, we rally around the banner. We come to him. We gather to him as sheep gather to the shepherd. We gather to him as doves to the window. We gather to him as Noah was gathered to the ark. We gather to him as chicks to the hen. We gather to him as the man slayer to the city of refuge. He's our banner, and he's our banner that unites. Remember Wednesday night when we're, or Sunday night, excuse me, when we were going a little bit through chapter 11 here. And I spoke to you there in verse 6, how the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play upon the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. You know, the Lord Jesus, who is our banner, He draws unto Himself all kinds of people. And He brings us to the end of ourselves to rest in Him and trust in Him. And we're united. We're united in Him. And then He's a covering banner. It's a verse of Scripture in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 4. His banner over me was love. Love is the banner. And He covers us with His banner. And remember this, the banner is constantly under attack. What is it, even today, that is under attack? Is it not the Lord Jesus and His work of redemption? Is there not it's almost a united effort by all the enemies of the gospel to discredit what our Lord Jesus did? And to say that He made an effort, but they won't say it was successful. They'll say He tried to do this. He made this possible for you, but ultimately it's up to you. He is constantly under attack. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. But He shall stand fast. And I say to you and me, let's be bold for the truth. He's been smitten for us. And then lastly, He is a conquering ensign. He's always conquering. Listen, the fact that you love the gospel tonight shows that He conquered you. The rod of God, the banner of God, it has so arrested you and got your heart's attention that you believe the gospel of God's saving grace. He's conquered your heart. And you won't listen to any other message than the message, except the message of grace, the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an honor to be in His army, isn't it? to be under the banner of our Lord Jesus. He's the captain of our salvation. He is our commander. He's the one who's in charge. And we follow Him. Moses holds up the banner. And he motions to Israel. We begin our march again. They follow the banner. They follow the ensign. They follow that man who's out front, who has in His hand that which is symbolic of the very power of God. And there He goes, and the rest of the Israelites said, I'm following Him. I'm following Him. Because what He has the power of God with Him. He's the one who smote the Red Sea and it split wide open. He's the one who took that same rod and hit a rock and water came out. He's the one who's leading us to the land of promise. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus, He's leading us to paradise. He is the Lord, our banner. And we have been brought by sovereign grace to follow Him. And we shall follow Him all the way into the land of promise. He's the ensign of the people. And He gathers us unto Himself. And one of these days, this ensign is coming back. And by His omnipotence, He's going to draw all of His people unto Himself. And we'll be with Him forever and forever. Well, let's close in prayer.